The biggest story in the country is what is developing in Florida just weeks after Helene and the damage in Florida, in Georgia, in North Carolina. I mean, just seeing reports again today, Dave, about Asheville and water, just regular water, how far away they are from getting back to regular water. When you consider, what do we have, 40,000 gallons of rain, which came out of Helene. Now we have Milton. And this storm, which at one point yesterday was a Category 5, it is a Category 4 right now. You had one longtime meteorologist saying, if Milton reaches the power it potentially has, we might need a new category. There's never been a Category 6. Our friend from WCCO-TV, Chris Schaefer, is kind enough to join us on this story. Hello, my friend. Great to have you on again. Your business, you face this all the time when people say, oh, come on, Chris, you and everybody in weather, you're overhyping things. Calm down. It never lives up to as scary as some things seem to be. When you look at what is projected at Florida, when you analyze it, when you look to others who you respect about the power of hurricanes, this one directed at the Tampa area, a bit of an unusual path. What stands out most to you about what might take place starting evening or late night tomorrow?
I find it frightening, which is a word, you know, I will say, when I hear people say, I believe there was a director down there who said, if you stay here, you will die. I don't like to hear that because, A, that could challenge somebody to go, oh, yeah, I'll show you. But also, I think that is putting too much fear into people. But the bottom line is, we're here to protect life. We're here to inform you. The good thing about hurricanes, and there aren't many, is that you have days in advance of warning. We've been tracking Milton since before Milton had a name, and there are still a few days until Milton will make landfall. But this is scary. This is a life-threatening situation. And the biggest thing I'm concerned about, and every meteorologist for that matter, is safety of people. Yes, the hurricane is going to hit. Yes, it is going to destroy buildings. But we can rebuild, but we can't resurrect. You know, if it takes people out, that's it. So if you can drive to Miami, if you can drive to Tallahassee, if you can go to Georgia, if you can go somewhere for a few days, ride it out. You know what I mean? There's no sense in trying to stay in the path of these hurricanes. I love my house. Chad, you love your house. Yep. We all do. I don't love it that much.
No.
I'm not going to die for my house.
No.
You know.
Not even close.
Right.
So that was the mayor of Tampa, Chris. That was the mayor of Tampa with Caitlin Collins yesterday saying, if you stay, you're going to die. So I want you to expand on that because I'm sure she has watched some of the issues they've had before, other parts of Florida, other areas in that area where too many people have stayed, right? And you're amplifying on that also. You think that's too far? Because for me, I watched that and I thought, maybe that does get to some people who are so inclined to stay and convinces him or her to leave. Or you're worried somebody's going to say, oh, really? I'm going to take this as a challenge, and I'm going to stay.
Yeah, and I think with every hurricane, you're never going to get 100% of the people to heed your warnings. And the warnings are very justified, clearly, because this isn't like a frontal boundary or a rain track that might shift 30 or 40 miles. If it does, you're still in the path of the hurricane. And they are deadly, especially when this will be another major one that will likely make landfall as a Category 3 hurricane. And we always talk about the wind speeds, Chad. You hear us obsess about that.
Sure.
That's what the categories are based on. And that still winds up to 129 miles per hour. What people forget about, though, the storm surge, if you're right there by the beach, like a lot of the hotels are, the tornadoes that are possible, the flooding that we saw states inland from where Helene made landfall. There's so much danger involved. I do understand the mayor being extreme to get people out. That's the key. But the bottom line is, I don't know what the percentage is, but let's say it's 20% that stay. That doesn't mean all 20% of the people are going to die.
Yeah, understand. Yep.
Yeah. So, but I get where her heart is. I get where her brain is. It's the same thing I tell you. If there's a tornado here in Minnesota that we're very familiar with, you'll hear me saying, get down to your basement. Don't run to your window and take a look at it or shoot a video with your phone. Just get down there. If it doesn't hit you, so what? It's better to be safe than sorry. Or in the case of tornadoes and hurricanes, it's better to be safe than dead.
Chris Schaefer from WCCO TV is with us. It's 14 past 2. We're talking about Milton. So let's stay with the wind situation, Chris, where yesterday when it was pretty far out in the Gulf, it was over 180 at one point. And that's when this legendary meteorologist down there was saying, maybe we need a new category. Maybe this could get to 200. You are saying now, from what you're seeing, that maybe the most accurate projection is a Category 3 when it arrives on land?
Yeah, I've seen more and more confirmation on that. You know, the exact pinpoint of its arrival, I would say, you know, Tampa is a good base, but I would say anything, and I'm not Captain Florida. I don't have a place down there.
I have you down on my phone as Captain Florida.
There you go.
Do I have to change that? I mean,
it's right under Blaise Bodine, right? Okay, that's another story.
That's another story.
Honestly, everybody from Sarasota, St. Petersburg, up to Holiday, yep. Clearwater, we've heard so many of these mentioned from, you know, people that have folks down there that yep. are retired, or maybe you have a place in the winter. They're all going to take some kind of damage, whether this swings 20 miles north or south. But yes, going back to the categories, I mean, the Category 5 is pretty loose. It's 157 plus. So yes, it could go up to 200. And I would like to see a few more added, because there's a big difference if it's 170 or 200 that could happen. But the bottom line is, fortunately, when Milton went across the northern Yucatan Peninsula, it encountered, topography, basically, beaches, hills, trees, and that slowed it down a bit. I wouldn't be shocked if it strengthened a little bit again, but as it nears Florida, it should drop just like Helene did. It was at one point a Category 4, dropped to a 3, but it doesn't matter. You saw the damage that happened,
yes.
and there's just so right. many forms. I brought up something yesterday, and I did catch one of our CBS News national reports picked up. I think it was a guy from FEMA who said, you have to remember, there's a lot of junk lying around from Helene. It might be parts of houses. It might be down trees. If that stuff goes airborne, now you've got projectiles that can do more damage. They could kill people. So it's a very dangerous situation. You can't batten down the hatches, so to speak, when there's that much stuff laying around.
The part that I think stunned so many of us about Helene, Chris, is how it continued to go, right? And to see Asheville as unrecognizable as it is, as uninhabitable as part of it is now, where Asheville is, what, 250 to 300 miles away from the coast, and that Helene diverted away and still had that power. Do you have a sense that once it goes, as you said, the Tampa path, the ferocity it might have as it continues to move through Florida and the other areas of the states nearby, which might be in jeopardy?
Yeah, what was concerning to me, too, when I first looked at the first prognosis, basically, of where it's going to hit. We call them spaghetti plots. I'm sure you've heard that before. Because they look like spaghetti noodles. It's multiple outcomes that could happen. And when I saw the ones that were targeting Tampa, what shocked me is when Milton emerges on the other side, I'm talking about the future now, it was still a Category 1 hurricane, which I wouldn't want to strike coming off the Gulf to begin with, but that's how strong this hurricane will be. Now, Florida is a thinner pelt, obviously, than going inland into states like Helene did,
mm-hmm.
but to be that strong to go across. Now we're talking about, you know, not just Tampa. You know, if you go inland from there on the path, and I would assume it would maintain its northeast, Orlando could see some damage from this in the form of flooding and all that, as well as the winds. Kissimmee, a bunch of these towns that we've heard are going to be impacted by this because it is going to maintain its strength. And then fortunately, when it emerges in the Atlantic, it'll spin off to sea. But the next couple of days, specifically Wednesday into Friday are going to be very rough for Floridians.
Last thing, and I'll let you go again, our friend Chris Schaefer from WCCO-TV is here. Since we're talking Tampa, let's stay with it and this path. I saw the headline everywhere today. Tampa has not been hit. Tampa Bay has not been hit directly and by major hurricanes since 1921. That blew me away. Because I just think of the Gulf side and what happens. Why is this path so atypical from most other hurricanes?
I would say with a lot of these hurricanes, it is a crapshoot. Ultimately, there aren't any hurricane highways down there or anything like that. It's all affected on where they originate, what the prevailing winds are doing that steer them, and we could see this shift. But looking at the long range models, it's pretty much pinpointing that area. But I hear that a lot, Chad, and I'm sure you do too, when people move to Florida, because we know a lot of Minnesotans who do that.
They're
sick of the winters.
Sure.
They're like, what are the odds? One hit here 28 years ago. It's not going to happen again. That's what's scary, is because there are no guarantees.
No.
It could happen. It could happen 5 years in a row. It hasn't, fortunately, but that's the risk that people take down there. And obviously, it goes beyond the devastation of the storms, the cleanup, the insurance issues, and all of that stuff. They're just such a nightmare that I will take our boring weather. I will take a wind chill of 25 below over this stuff any day of the week.
Yeah. Chris will be all over this on WCCO-TV this afternoon, this evening, and tonight. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You got it. By the way, I'm stoked about the Twins, too. Thanks for sharing that news.
Absolutely. Good news on the Twins on the radio side, and the MLB now saying they're going to produce the Twins, so greater access for this upcoming season. Dave, it makes me think of the worst weather event individuals have ever faced. I don't think the two of us have done this, but I've talked about this before. Can we just get this out of the way? You're not allowed to say the Halloween storm.
Of course you're not, because that was the best weather event. Okay. That's why we remember it so fondly, Chadwick.
Got it. We lived it. It was a little dusty. Okay.
Okay.
It was a little dusty.
If you're going to besmirch the blizzard of 91.
I had to drive through it to watch the beginning of the Jimmy Rogers era. So don't get to me on that day.
Okay. Which would you rather sit through, the beginning of the Jimmy Rogers era or another Halloween blizzard?
Do I get paid and I just watch the games at home?
No, you got to go there.
I got to go back?
Yep.
I think I have Quentin. That's going to change things. Okay, so you cannot say the 91 Halloween storm, because I know for a lot of people, that is it. What is the worst weather event you have faced? What one do you have? It could be while you're living here in Minnesota. It could be one while you're living somewhere else in the country. It could be where you're living outside this country. What did you face? You want to text? You can text. You want to call and elaborate? You can do that. 651-461-9226.